By most accounts, Boston and the state handled last year's Boston Marathon bombings as well as could be expected. Decades of disaster drills appear to have paid off, with thousands of people from various agencies joining forces to try and save as many lives as possible. In the shadow of last year's tragedy, how are officials preparing for this year's race, 1 week from today? WBUR's Deborah Becker reports.
For several months now, emergency responders, law enforcement officials, and others have been gearing up for the possibility of another marathon attack. Master Sergeant Kenneth Huddleston with the Federal Department of Homeland Security's Mobile Training Unit recently held a class for police in Hopkinton.
The start of the marathon here in Hopkinton, it's a very attractive place, if you will, to bad guys. So what better place to start to increase the awareness and increase the security than right here?
This is one of dozens of preparedness sessions that focus on topics such as supporting a bomb squad and responding to terrorism or suicide bombings. Instructor Kurt Tilley shows a video of how to handle a motorist who's behaving suspiciously.
Driver, what's your name?
Benjamin.
And what's your last name?
How many of you have done traffic stops like
Taurus.
This? What do you know right away?
Yes.
Something's wrong.
Okay.
Tilley takes the class out to the parking lot to search a car. He identifies clues that reveal a fake bomb under the hood.
You know, wired in. Do you have your power, your initiator, your switch, your explosive?
Police will conduct such searches at security checkpoints along the marathon route. Just one of dozens of extra precautions that will be in place this year, there are new restrictions on what runners and spectators can do and bring to the race. There will be additional surveillance cameras to help the 3,500 police officers and 400 National Guard soldiers on patrol. Also, there will be several emergency response centers throughout the route, all connected to the main state emergency management headquarters in Framingham. Centralized medical emergency centers are also part of preparedness efforts.
This is our command center, so this is the area where we send our incident management team.
Maureen McMahon is Director of Emergency Management at Boston Medical Center. She's taken me to a large room in a nondescript building near the hospital filled with desks, computers, televisions, and phones. Four people will staff this center Marathon Monday.
We'll have people coming in and out. We might be getting reports from the field. We'll be requesting information. So this is going to be a monitoring condition. It's not going to be a full activation.
Full activation was last year when hospitals had just minutes to prepare for scores of severely injured people. Not one patient taken to a Boston hospital died last year. Even so, most medical facilities are making some changes. Almost all will have extra staff on race day. And because so many medical workers volunteered to help last year, several hospitals have new notification and chain of command procedures. The biggest issue was communication, coordinating staff and media, and handling patients and their loved ones. Hospitals want to prevent another case of mistaken identity. That's what happened with Karen Rand. She was carrying her friend, Crystal Campbell's ID, when she was transported from the finish line to Mass General for amputation surgery. Campbell died at the finish line. But Campbell's family was told that she was the one in surgery, not Rand.
While I understand how it happened, I had Crystal's identification and her phone on me, I still think that even as crazy as it was, there has to be a way to identify people, whether it's what they look like, what size they are, you know, the age, anything, some kind of characteristics that when family are calling and saying, this is what the person I'm looking for looks like, you have some other way to identify a little bit easier.
Paul Bittinger, Medical Director for Emergency Preparedness at MGH, says the hospital has improved its systems.
And we've worked very hard with our staff to make sure that everyone is trained on our state-of-the-art procedures for how to identify what is proper and what is not proper identification for the victims.
But Bittinger and other hospital workers say the core issue they're working on is emotional preparedness, not just for tomorrow's anniversary of the bombings, but also for next week's race. every hospital is offering counseling to its workers. The Schwartz Center for Compassionate Healthcare has been holding drop-in meetings for medical caregivers to discuss with their peers their feelings about responding to the Marathon bombings. At one recent session, many admitted that they are still processing the trauma. One of the meeting's facilitators was Vicki Noble, an emergency room physician at MGH.
And I think my feeling that day, and continues to be my feeling, which I think gives me some strength, was one of immense pride. Sorry. I thought I was doing better, too. I just felt I was watching the pre-hospital teams and watching the police, watching the firefighters, watching the volunteers, and I was just so proud.
Organizers of these sessions issued a report describing an array of caregiver emotions: fear, guilt, anxiety about the upcoming marathon and anniversary, and resentment that a signature Boston event has been marred by violence. The facilitator's advice, perhaps for everyone, talk about feelings, stay connected, take care of yourself. And if it feels too overwhelming to be reminded of the marathon this year, get away from it. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Deborah Becker.